You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Dance Off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
I'm Sam Tweedle.
And Martin Bruda. Before we even get started here, I got to say that I'm feeling a little under the weather. So if you hear somebody in the corner sounding like an old man, that's me.
Actually,
and if you hear me coughing, that's me too.
A couple of moments ago, actually, it sounded like you were coughing up a hairball over there.
There you go.
Kind of like if you were washing my cast with your tongue.
It's okay. I got my asthma puffer.
That just makes you sound like a cross between Darth Vader and Hannibal Lecter.
It's bronchial dilation. It's so yummy.
All right. All right, so it's Friday night. It's time to talk about comics, and I actually read some comics this week. I didn't go to the comic store, and then I got really scared because the show was coming up. So I was like, hurry, read comics. What do I have in my office to read? So I read, and I see that Dan brought some comics, and Marty has comics, and it looks like we're gonna have a lot of comics to talk about.
Hopefully,
all right.
But I read a lot of comics last week, it only like took me 35 seconds to talk about them.
Yeah, I know. You gotta. You can.
That's okay. I have this.
Yeah. So.
Wait, and yeah, that's a giant list.
Yeah.
So should we hit the list right away?
Yeah, let's go.
All
let's
right,
go.
Let's talk turkey.
Let's talk,
let's
comics,
talk
okay.
Marvel Legacy. Because Marvel Legacy is coming out, right?
Yes, it is.
And you guys kind of touched on it last week a little bit, but they decided to come out with this big, earth-changing, industry-changing thing, and Dan was talking about how the Bleeding Cool headlines were like, oh, they're doing it again, and they're earth-shattering, and they're earth-changing, and so much so that I feared that, you know, tsunamis were coming and stuff like this. So they released the initial list of Marvel Legacy titles, and really, not much has changed.
It's the same damn list.
It's the same damn list. There's a few minor issues.
Oh yeah, like Kingpin, the best book they were publishing, got canceled
that
after five issues. I know. Like, it's the same damn list.
So I'm not going to go through the whole list.
No, it's not, because it's the same damn list.
Amazing Spider-Man's going to 789 in numbering, right? Okay, whatever. But silly things like Champions is still 13, so they're not going back to the original Bronze Age numbering on Champions. Defenders. Staying at 6, also not going back to the original numbering. So
what I wonder is, what was the earth-shattering news that they kept going on about? Like they haven't done anything.
Well, I know. Like
Marvel Legacy has not done anything.
The only thing I see new here is Marvel 2-in-1, which we'll talk about in a sec, and Falcon. So Sam Wilson's not going to be Captain America anymore.
Oh my God, that's so earth-shattering.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to cope. This has shattered my existence.
As I was telling Marty earlier this week, the only thing earth-shattering that Marvel could have done is bought the rights to Superman. And that Superman was now a Marvel character. Now, that would have been industry-changing. That would have been a game-changer.
Now, one thing that's stupid, though, right? Like I said, Daredevil's Champions not going to the original numbering. Peter Parker's Spectacular Spider-Man, which we all know is a miniseries. It's not continuing once Chip Zdarsky's done his little
It's arc. Not. Do we know that for sure?
Pretty much. Like,
okay.
Come on.
It's like Betty and Veronica number 3.
Yeah. So they're going back to original numbering with number 297. Like, what the heck? That makes no sense.
Yeah, that's pretty lame.
So now, sorry, you said Defenders and Champions.
Are not going to their legacy number.
But, like, everything else is?
Yeah, pretty much. Venom is.
But then, like, and again, the way they pick what the legacy numbering is pretty random.
Yeah, it's pretty random. Everyone's complaining about that, too, because some of them are counting the point zero issue. Some of them are not. Superior Spider-Man, which I argue is a completely different comic series, is being lumped into The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Make those numbers mm-hmm. higher. Doctor Strange is at 381. Luke Cage at 166. But Defenders is staying at 6. I don't get it. It just doesn't make sense. X-Men Blue, X-Men Gold, staying with their old numbers.
You know, I overall, I still enjoy the Marvel comics I buy, but I'm only buying 5.
That's more than me.
And none of them. Wait, did the Wasp get canceled? Is it still there?
It's not called the Wasp, is it?
No, it's like the
Despicable.
No, it's not Despicable. It's like Astonishing, like the
Irreplaceable. I don't see Wasp here.
Really? It got canceled.
Yeah, I don't see
Great. Well, I'm still going to be down up to 5 because I am going to buy Marvel 2-in-1.
Yes, we're going to go into Marvel 2-in-1 because that sounds like fun.
That I will be buying. But Marvel. Well, yeah.
Like this is, like you said, not earth-shattering. And remember they had that Comics Pro Retailer Summit where they kind of revealed all sorts of really
nasty things. Yeah.
Well, they had another conference.
Oh, brother.
And it hasn't been 100% confirmed just yet, but mm-hmm. the basic gist is that this sort of initiative is just a stopgap until the next event. So
what?
So are you telling me that my Spectacular Spider-Man is going to be like issue 1, issue 2, issue 3, issue 297, issue 298, and then it's going to get canceled and get started up with all new Spectacular Spider-Man number 1?
Great.
Is that what's going to happen? Discerning citizens want to know.
You know, as I said, you know, this stuff is, look, I still love comics, right? And I'm still buying a lot of comics. My comic budget has gone up yet again because of a lot of really cool stuff that's come out. But I just find it interesting that my interest in Marvel, because of hijinks like this, just keeps going down and down and down. Like, I mean, there's some exceptions to the rule. Like, as I said, I loved Kingpin. I loved the first issue of Peter Parker.
Yeah, but you didn't like the last issue of King.
No, it was a piece of shit.
Okay, so.
Yeah. But it's because they wrapped up everything they were building to in one crappy issue.
Yeah.
I loved the first issue of Peter Parker. I thought it was so much fun. I'm looking forward to Marvel 2-in-1. So I'm not saying these are still characters I love. They're still characters I want to read. But it's stuff like this which is preventing me from buying them.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, they wanted to step down the path of new number ones all the time. Fine, great. But that doesn't mean you get to go back and have like a 700th anniversary issue for Deadpool. Like, come on. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like Deadpool, if you just want it with his regular title, Deadpool, is not nearly that many issues. It's all miniseries, the team up, whatever.
Well, didn't they release like a Deadpool issue 600 or something like that, or Deadpool issue 1000 that didn't count? It was just a number that they picked out of their hat.
Yes, I'm pretty sure they did.
I think they're counting that.
Oh, that wacky Deadpool!
Jeez Louise! Yeah.
But I see that the my writing is a lot smaller than Marty's on my screen. The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl is finally going to reach 27, though. So
all right.
There's not going to be two number ones in 1 year for that one.
Yeah.
That's for ridiculous. A second time.
That's just crazy.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And some people say, you know, okay, fine, whatever. Just read the story and enjoy the story and read the story. It's hard to get involved and emotionally attached to a story when you know, like your Kingpin,
mm-hmm.
that they're going to screw up the whole, like, you can talk about the last issue of Kingpin better than I can, but the whole series, it's building towards something, and then all of a sudden, oh, editorial change, we're canceling the book, wrap it up in a really horrible, dissatisfying way. So how did you enjoy the story?
I enjoyed what it was leading to.
Yeah.
And but then, I didn't enjoy where it ended up.
Exactly. So overall, a letdown.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, well said.
So what's the point?
No, we've talked about it a lot on this show, you know, and as I said, I think it's had a lot to do with me walking away from books by both Marvel and DC, is that I don't feel that the short, you know, creative length on books, you know, it's hard to create any sort of longevity and interest in me as a reader.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Like, I'm thinking, like, what? Like, I think the last really long run of books I can think of is Gail Simone on Birds of Prey. She did, like, what, 50, 60 issues, and she created something absolutely beautiful and brilliant. But every Birds of Prey series I've read ever since is absolutely stank, like, you know? Because they haven't had time to really do anything with
exactly.
the book.
Like, Moon Knight is issue 188, but Ms. Marvel's issue 25. Mm-hmm. It's not even like they're following their own set of rules.
Hmm.
Like, are you going with original numbering or are you not going with original numbering?
Mm. But, like, is Ms. Marvel, is it only where the characters are the same?
Yeah, but they are and they aren't. I mean, one can argue that Luke Cage is not the same Luke Cage that was in
Hero for Hire?
Hero for Hire.
But he's still called Luke Cage, though, right?
But the Defenders is the Defenders. So why isn't the Defenders?
What? The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
That's because it's going to be, they said it's most likely going to be Amadeus Cho as the Hulk still.
Yeah.
What's the numbering on that one?
709.
So there. So that one doesn't seem to make any sense.
Exactly. That's okay. What I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, you know, Generation X, 85. X-Men Blue, 13. What?
I really think that your idea to, like, you know, make the gold and blue the uncanny and regular X-Men is a great idea.
Exactly. That's what they should do. And if they were going to do this, in my opinion, don't start it halfway through a series. Like, have another event like you were going to anyways and do it from that point on. This is... And maybe that's, you know what? Maybe that's the mental math here. Maybe the titles that are, like you said, well, no, it doesn't make sense because we were talking about Incredible Hulk. I don't know what they're doing. I just don't know. I'm just confused.
Well, I can tell you, whatever event they pull off, I'm not reading it.
Well, as my buddy Harold said on the Facebook group, right? There's other companies putting out so much better stuff.
Well, yeah.
You know, Dan's idea of getting Marvel Unlimited. Why spend the money? How much did you spend on the Kingpin series? $3.99 times how many issues?
Five.
Times five issues with no good payoff. When you could have spent $10 and got the Marvel Unlimited and read, like, original Daredevil issues.
Hmm. Or you can use your Marvel Unlimited app to read the terrible comics, like Secret Empire, which I actually started to read last night. I got bored. Yeah. Secret Empire isn't up on there yet because it's too new, because it's 6 months back. But the Road to Secret Empire is there. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to read this. And I'm going to just, because I'm already paying for it, might as well spend 5 minutes and read it. And read a few issues. Saw how Steve Rogers became Old Man Rogers.
Yeah.
And Sam Wilson taking over. That's as far as I've got so far.
Are you going to keep going?
I am. I'm going to go to the bitter end so that I can at least see what it is.
Okay, good for you. Good for you. That's dedication.
That's commitment.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, the last Man Thing series, I love Man Thing. Oh, my God, I love Man Thing.
And yet, how much money did we waste on that Man Thing?
You know what? I didn't even read the last three issues. I didn't even read them. I just bought them to complete because I like Man Thing and I wanted to complete the series. It was so unreadable that I looked at the pictures because it didn't make sense. And the few times I tried to read it, I just got mad. So on just how away from the source material it slipped. I don't know. I could have a bit of a hang up on that kind of thing. Yeah. But
I don't know. I just didn't like it. Mm. So anyways. All
right.
So, I got some presents here for you guys.
Yeah.
For Dan here, I don't think I gave you a copy of this. The Captain Canuck.
No, I do not have that.
150 Niagara Falls special issue.
Oh, sweet. Nice. There you go. So that's for Dan.
Featuring Captain Canuck saving a beaver from falling over the
classic
falls.
Classic Captain.
He's saving a beaver?
He's saving a beaver from falling
beaver.
Over the falls.
I thought you actually
Justin
said Bieber.
Bieber.
I'm like,
no.
What?
And
no.
He does it. And he does it with the help of the mayor of New York.
All right.
Of Niagara Falls.
All right. Cool. Cool. You should just let Bieber follow over the falls.
There you go.
All right.
And then for Sam here, I got a Dark Shadows gold key issue. That
I don't have that one. I don't
That's
know
a
what
great
issue
shape
it is.
Too.
Oh my goodness. This could be the nicest one I own.
There you go.
Wow. I have all these reprinted. Hermes Press did a really great reprint series a number of years ago in hardcover. They were ridiculously expensive, but so worth it. If you're a Dark Shadows fan, like all 14 of us. But hold on a sec. I just want to see. It doesn't even smell like old comic.
No, because it's that nice of a condition.
It's that nice of a condition. You know, like that acid smell that you can usually get high on?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not in there. So,
there you go.
So really he wants you to take it back and get him a different one.
No. That's great. I don't get high on comics.
There you go.
All right. Cool. There's a time and place for getting high, and that's college. Anyway.
There you go.
All right. So, who's up next?
You.
Okay, well.
While you start things off, I'm going to pass this to Dan.
Oh, there you are, my friend. Okay. So I read two comics, one new, one old. The first comic I read is this very large hardcover book I bought from World's Collide called Billie Holiday, which is a story about the jazz singer Billie Holiday, written by Manoj and Sampayo. Do you think I've said that right?
No.
Okay.
But I'm not going to try it.
Do you want to try it? Oh, it'd be funny to watch him try
There's
it.
There's no ski on the end.
Yeah.
Sampayo.
Yeah.
Munoz y Sampayo.
All right. So it's not really a biography on Billie Holiday. It's more of a character study. It basically starts off as a writer. What's the company together?
NBM Graphic Novels. Okay. NBM is. And we got some crayons. It's black and white.
Yeah. It's just. Anyway. No, just get a pen away from that. Stop that shit.
I need to color it.
Sorry. All right. So, anyway. It's basically a character study on Billie Holiday. And it's basically about her friendship with a gay saxophone player and how horribly treated she was by men.
You said that wrong. It's saxophone.
Oh, saxophone. It doesn't really give too much backstory on who she was or her musical career, just about how sort of sad and pathetic her life was and how everything was really bad. And it's... Is it good? Is it a good book? I don't know if it's good. It's definitely interesting. It was definitely compelling. But it just... you know, Billie Holiday is one of the most tragic figures in music history. And there's really not too much uplifting about her life. I really feel that the book didn't have a lot of depth, and it could have gone in a lot more, like if they offered a lot more history of where she came from instead of just how bad her life was. And then
she was only 44 when she passed?
Oh, yeah, man. Drug overdose, man.
Jesus.
Yeah, she died of heroin or coke, something like that. I don't know. It was pretty nasty anyway. So it's a nasty little grim book about Billie Holiday that depressed the snot out of me.
It's a nice presentation, though.
It's a beautiful book.
Yeah.
And as I said, it's definitely interesting. It's definitely compelling. It's a beautiful book, but there's probably better books out there. So, you know, I just read it because I had to read something and it was sort of small. It was very thin.
And you spent less on this than you did the Kingpin series.
Did I now?
There you go.
So the other book I read is a book called It's a Good Life If You Don't Weekend by Seth, who is a Canadian cartoonist that lives in, I believe he lives in Oakville now. He used to be a Toronto guy, and he's now in Oakville. He's probably best known these days as being cover artist for The New Yorker. And this is not a new book, and this isn't my first time reading this book, but it's probably my first time reading this book in the last 10 years. I've often called It's a Good Life If You Don't Weaken to be the most important book I've ever read in my life. This is probably the one book that's probably spoken to me more than anything. And you know, you guys are pretty big Canadian comic fans, and I almost feel like there was a time where I was just as kooky as you guys were about the industry, but it was a different history that kind of harkens back to the 1990s, where a lot of independent comic guys were just doing these autobiographic comics through Drawn and Quarterly. That was, you know, we're doing pretty successful, but that era of Canadian comics sort of dried up around 2005, and you know, the Chapter House thing sort of took over, which is pretty cool in itself.
Oh, I got to disagree with you there a little bit. Like, if you remember TCAF, there's tons and tons of publishers that are still trying to come out with that kind of stuff. I just don't think there's a publisher that's being distributed by Diamond that's carrying that stuff.
Very true. It's a Good Life If You Don't Weaken. So I kind of read this. I've been feeling pretty good about life lately, so I decided to kind of read this, and because it always does kind of bring me up. And I sort of saw it through fresh eyes, because as I said, last time I read this book was 10 years ago. I was definitely a different person. I was definitely going through a different stage of my life. And it was interesting, again, to reconnect with this book in a new way, because it still ran true of all the ways that I relate to it. But still, it's kind of different because I'm not the same person. Basically, it's a biographical tale about the cartoonist Seth and about him and Chester Brown, who's another very popular cartoonist. It's a lot about their friendship. But Seth, basically, the bottom line of the story is Seth discovers these cartoons in some old New Yorker magazines by a cartoonist named Kalo. And he goes on a quest to find out who Kalo was and what his backstory was, because he can't find anything on him. And that's basically, and you think, oh, well, that doesn't sound too exciting. But the book also, you know, there's a number of little subplots. It shows, you know, a relationship from the beginning of the end that Seth had. It's about his friendship with Chester Brown. It's about the difficult relationship between him and his brother and his mother. It's also very much a sort of like a manifesto of his own, the way he looks at the world. And Seth, this book came out in 1996, and it's still very much like Seth is this eccentric man who sort of lives in the past, and he's obsessed with 1950s and 1960s Canadiana, and he really wishes nothing has like 1962 is kind of where he wants history to stop in Canada. And his art style and the quietness of the story really sort of plays into that kind of nostalgic journey. I was very happy to see Seth again for the first time in a long time at TCAF, and he kind of remembered who I was. He remembered I was from Peterborough and that I was a writer, but other than that, he couldn't remember my name, but that's cool. That's cool. And I love his work. So it was really, really, it was definitely, this book always is an emotional experience every time I read it, and I think putting it away for 10 years and looking back at it, it was another very emotional experience. It's available on Amazon. If you guys, you know, anyone out there has never read this, so you should read it. It's A Good Life If You Don't Weaken by Seth, Drawn in Quarterly Press. It's really, as I said, the most important book I've ever read. And I've read a lot of books, not just comics, but that's of everything. I mean, that's like you taking Kerouac and Steinbeck and Truman Capote, and this book is still better than all that stuff. So that's all I got to talk about. I read a lot of Luann. Oh, and I bought an Archie Digest this week because I had to get the oil changed in my car and I didn't know what to do with myself for an hour. Because, of course, when you bring your car in for an oil change, they find other things wrong with it. So my $40 oil change came to like $120 with them fixing other stuff. But I sat there and I tried to read an Archie Digest at the mechanics. And I had a very difficult time with it because I have very poor vision. And I've realized that the printing on these digests are getting smaller because the comic strips aren't formatted for digest size. They're still formatted for large floppy. So I couldn't, with my poor eyesight, I couldn't really read the comics. So it wasn't a successful thing. Oh, listen to me. I'm just so negative tonight. I'm really sorry, guys. I didn't like the Billie Holiday book. And damn you, Archie, for making your digest too small.
I did see the Archie Spider-Man digest on the racks at Walmart.
Oh, did you? Yeah, that's cool.
So they're out and about.
Cool, cool.
Speaking of Archie, before we try something else here, apparently Archie re-registered the trademark for the Mighty Crusaders.
Oh, that's great.
So are they coming back out with the
Mighty Crusaders? They've been kind of putting that stuff out. Like, there's a S.H.I.E.L.D. book and a Black Hood book and a Fly book right now.
Yeah.
Or Hangman.
Well, yeah, there is, too. Yeah. And that's from Archie, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I thought they licensed it out.
No, Archie's actually doing it now. They call it the Red Circle Group, but after one of their imprints, I think from the early 80s. Didn't they do Red Circle in the early 80s?
DC did Mighty Crusaders in 2010.
Yeah, that was, what was the...
So they must have licensed it out then.
Yeah, they've licensed it out over the years, but yeah, it's yeah, they're currently doing it. So, well, what do you got over there, Dan?
Well, I got a few comic books over here.
Yeah.
I went
into Worlds Collide the other day and just picked up some stuff. Went in with nothing, looking for nothing, and found a few issues. I've been reading Redneck. Have you guys been reading that one?
No, I haven't read that one.
I grabbed the first issue, but I didn't read past that.
I had the first issue, and then when I went to Worlds Collide, they had like 40 copies of issue 2, which some places are saying is sold out. So I was quite excited to get that. And issue 3 has already come out. So I picked up 2 and 3 and read those, and it's enjoyable. Yeah. I enjoy it. I'm not sure if it's like, I don't think it kind of lives up to the hype because it's being very hyped right now, but I enjoy it. I will keep reading it, especially because I'm sort of enjoying reading less superhero stuff right now and more Image and whatnot.
Basically, that's what I've been doing for the last year too. So I completely agree with you on that.
Like I will read as many free Marvel comics on Marvel Unlimited as I can get my greedy eyes on. But, you know, I'm not going to buy anything unless something really strikes my fancy. And, you know, honestly, that's the good thing about something like Marvel Unlimited, because I have read some series where I was like, you know what, I wouldn't have cared about that character at all. Now I'm kind of interested. So maybe at some point I would buy it. I don't know. So that was one. Now, you guys remember a while ago we were talking about Alterna Comics, who are putting out these $1.50 comic books.
Yeah.
So I have one here. I saw this one there. It's called Mother Russia. Uh-huh. You can take a look at that. It's on like newspaper print.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all in, it's in black and white.
I love how it looks like an old 80s comic.
Yeah, it's smells good.
I haven't seen any on the shelves.
It smells so good.
I haven't seen any on the shelves yet.
Yeah, this is the first one that I've seen. And as soon as, because I had the cover, I saw the title, Mother Russia, and I was like, oh, I wonder what that is. Saw that it's from Alterna, and it's $1.50 American, so, you know, like $2 Canadian. I was like, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, for sure.
This one's about Russian zombies.
All right.
But for $1.50, you know, that's awesome. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of beautiful to read that old newspaper print.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I miss it.
So, yeah, for $1.50, I picked that up. It was a no-brainer.
That's cool.
Yeah, definitely. Cool.
If I see that, I'm going to grab it,
me
too.
Me too. Hopefully there'll be some there tomorrow.
And then
Was there very many of them?
There was, I think there was a stack.
Okay.
I don't know if, I didn't notice if there was other Alterna titles there, because there was just so much that I was looking at that I may have just missed them, but they might just be, you know, this might be the first wave of them getting out.
Yeah,
gotcha.
And then I picked up Jonah Hex and Yosemite Sam, the DC Looney Tunes crossover.
Give us a little rundown. What's that about?
Well, Jonah Hex.
Jonah Hex and...
Well, yeah, what happened?
Jonah Hex strikes it big. He finds a big gold claim. And tells the wrong person, and that wrong person decides to tell some more wrong people, and they're like, hey, let's go kill that guy and take his gold claim. And so he hires Jonah Hex to protect him, and we've got a weird foghorn leghorn man chicken here.
What?
Yeah, who? That's him there. Oh, Marty's got the actual comic up over there.
It is a man chicken.
Yep.
And look at that. They made him look like John Wayne in True Grit.
They kind of he's a circus person. Mm-hmm. He's part of a traveling circus, and you know, he's a boxer who is never beaten by anybody. But then he loses, and the circus kicks him out.
Well, I say, boy.
Yeah, and like he's got all that in there, and it's written by Jimmy Palmiotti, who does a lot of the Jonah Hex stuff. So
Weasel's in here too.
Oh, really?
As a boxer, look at his head.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That's
not cool.
Because it's not drawn in the cartoon style, right?
Yeah, that's just weird.
It is kind of weird.
Yeah.
It was a fun story.
Yeah. No, that sounds kind of
a little. It's, you know, these stories are adultish. They're not kid stories. However, at the end, there was a weird, like, 5-page kid story.
About what?
I think it was Elmer Fudd hunting Bugs Bunny and Jonah Hex being there.
Also hunting Bugs Bunny?
No, saving them from a bear.
Oh.
But that's done in the comic books, though.
Yeah, in real, like, comic style.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but yeah, I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool.
Did now, did they have any extra copies of Shirtless Bear Hunter?
I didn't see any there.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, because I would have picked that up.
Marty, what do you think of Shirtless Bear Hunter? We talked about it last week, but I think we have room to talk about it more.
It is epic. It is the greatest thing that has ever happened to the four-color business.
It's definitely more earth-shattering than everything Marvel's done.
Shirtless Bear Fighter is the best.
Okay.
I love it. I wish I had a copy of it online here, but I don't. No, I don't. No, it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I was giggling my brains off three quarters of the time.
It's so funny.
I mean, I know, like, it's a little bit, it's farting dick jokes.
Yeah.
But the one where he's standing there, in case anybody hasn't seen, he stands there buck naked, but they digitize out his
man parts.
Man thing.
His giant-sized man thing.
His giant-sized man thing. And at this one time, he's being confronted by the two CIA operatives, and he turns around real quickly to talk to her, and just down at the bottom, just nice and little quiet, little omnipia thing, slap. Oh, and the bear plane.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, can I talk about the bear plane? Or is that
you
spoiler?
Can. It's not a spoiler anymore.
The bear plane, it's like it's an SR-71 all covered in bear fur that he's obviously skinned and he's put on the plane. And there's a head of a bear on the front of the plane. Oh, it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
And for God's sakes, put on some pants.
Oh, and he does put on pants.
I laughed the whole time. That was kind of like that Justice League blah-ha-ha kind of giggle.
Oh, yeah. But it was fun. I mean, it was witty satire.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, usually I'm not a big comedy ha-ha guy, but if there's enough intelligence or wit or satire or even like Monty Python-type silliness, then I usually can get behind it. And Shirtless Bear Fighter definitely fits into all that.
Oh, I dug it totally. I thought it was the funniest thing.
I think it'll be the best thing. Have we talked about Spy Seal yet?
No. Well, kind of, sort of, but hasn't come out yet. So.
No. So Image has this book coming out called Spy Seal. And
I'm distracting Sam with a picture
of Elmer Fudd. Look at that. That's fun. So Spy Seal. He's a spy and he's a seal, and it's coming out from Image Comics.
Yeah, there you go.
So we'll talk about that more when it comes out, I guess, and once I have something to actually say. So All right. So comics.
So obviously we're stopping at Worlds Collide.
Tomorrow?
If we're going, yeah.
Yeah, darn right we are.
See if we can get alternate press books.
That sounds great.
Other than that, anybody else?
So how about we talk about Happily Ever After?
What's that?
We should.
It's a great project from Ricky Lima and some other people who I don't personally know. But Ricky, they did a Kickstarter last year for the first issue, and they're doing a Kickstarter this year for the entire collection.
Oh.
Did they ever release the other issues as floppies?
No.
Oh, okay.
So they just did that, and when they realized like there was so much interest, they're like, let's just put the whole thing out.
Okay.
So so what it is I'm just going to read what their about is from the Kickstarter thing. So Happily Ever After is about a kidnapped princess who uses a dating app to find knights to come and rescue her. It also follows the princess's captor, Gretchen Grimhold, as she comes to terms with what love means to her. For generations, the firstborn Grimhold child has kidnapped a bride for marriage. So naturally, Gretchen follows tradition and kidnaps a beautiful bride for herself. This unfortunately does not sit well with her father, who is not so accepting. Gretchen must now come to terms with her own sexuality as well as deal with the pressures put on her by her father. And it's pretty hilarious, pretty fun. It's like kind of like Adventure Time-ish, but a little more adult.
Okay.
But it's a really great project. I really enjoyed issue number one. And so they've got a Kickstarter going on for the whole graphic novel. Its goal is to raise $15,000. And so far they're at $5,849.
How many
with
days?
31 days to go, a month left.
Oh, hey, that's great.
So they're a third of the way there. So it's looking good. I haven't backed it yet because I'm waiting to see. Because I will back it for as much as I can afford if it needs it.
Wow, that's commitment, my friend.
It is.
Well, it's a good book. It's a pretty good book. Because I did the first Kickstarter, whatever, a year ago or something,
yep,
for the first issue. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first issue. And I know a lot of other people who have as well. And Ricky's a great guy, very active in the Toronto comic scene.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Cool.
Writes the Black Hole Hunters Club, which is another great comic book. And then the silence.
It's so hot in here.
It is.
Well, turn the fan on.
I'm drowning in Sam's sweat.
I know. I'm trying so hard, but I'm just the heat's just gotten to me. So
you
kind of
you can't try to not sweat though.
No.
If we're talking about Kickstarters, another one that some people might want to get behind is Badassicle number 3.
What's that about?
I've got issues 1 and 2. This is right up your alley, Sam.
Oh yeah.
Because 1 and 2 are already out. Maybe if there's a package that sells all 3 books,
get behind this.
That'd be pretty cool. I'm just quickly looking at the rewards to see if there is one. But it's 3 girls. They're kind of like Japanese, kind of a cat, fox, and something else.
Crow.
And they're kind of
is it a crow?
Superheroes fighting killer robots and. It's very Japanimation without being very Japanimation.
Yep.
And John Fleming is writing it, and he's got this absolutely fantastic artist named Colette doing the art, and it is amazing. I'm just trying to see if I can pull up a picture.
Now, is that that's a Canadian one?
John's a Canadian who moved to England and has moved back to Canada. So it's Canadian-ish, but his contributors are British and stuff, and so, like, I asked him once if he considered it a Canadian comic. He said no, but, I mean, issue 3, he's got his base of operations as being Moncton, so
yeah,
I'm
like, oh, wow.
More Canadian
here,
can you
so.
Be than that? So that's
oh
one
my
of the
God,
covers.
Look, that's beautiful.
Yes, yeah, so Colette Turner is pretty phenomenal.
Oh, she's
with
fantastic. Her
yeah.
Wow. And it's a fun little book. I mean, you know, yeah. it's not Billie Holiday. It's not making a political statement,
no,
but it's
no.
a fun little story.
I bet you I'd enjoy it more than I enjoyed Billie Holiday, actually. Okay, guys, keep talking. I need to go and throw water on my face or I'm going to pass out.
All right. So okay. That's a good campaign that is 200-something% funded.
Yeah, so it's basically already funded.
Yeah, so it's already funded. It's good to go. It's going to happen. They wanted $4,000. They've got $9,447. 29 days to go, so yeah, hop on that if you're interested.
Yeah, I'm just taking a look. I don't see a quick scan through the Kickstarter. I don't see a package that lets you get caught up. So we will see. I'm not yeah. seeing anything, but lots of cool stuff too.
I'm just thinking of if there's any other ones that I saw. I know I've got 2 emails in my
on.
In
no,
my
no,
inbox.
No, make too much of a hum. Hum.
You know what else makes a hum?
What?
If we die.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Marty's going to do the same thing. Folks, you have no idea. And if I don't start throwing water on my face, some of Dan's comics are going to go
straight
right in my
his mouth.
So we got to keep old Sam Tweedle all refreshed.
Yeah, got to keep him away from my comics.
You notice I didn't even ask to see him?
No, I didn't. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Just... Going back to the Badassicle,
yeah.
I do see that it's not a part of the rewards tier, but you can add on a physical copy of issue 1 and 2
all right, so
to get
I
caught
definitely...
up. So an extra $15 will get you caught up.
Oh, great.
So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
So
I think I'd enjoy that. That's
and they have lots of cool rewards. I'm all about the rewards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I enjoy the rewards.
No, I haven't really backed... Well, I've backed a few things this year, but, you know, the last project that I backed up was kind of interesting because I actually had no interest in it at all. Like, there was nothing to do with the project that I was interested in, nor
yeah.
did they have any rewards that would actually benefit me. It was just a really good friend of mine who had a project going, and I thought, you know what? Like, I want to support her. I want to back her. So I threw her $50.
Yeah.
And she won, and everybody was happy, and I get nothing out of it. But it's okay. What I got out of it was supporting my friend.
Yes.
And my friend's project going all the way. And that, to me, was a reward.
And
that's
you know,
why I did it.
I will support stuff like that. You know, it's not... I don't have to have an actual interest in the project. Mm-hmm. My interest is in seeing my friend succeed.
Okay, yeah.
You know?
The project I did was Leanna Kay's Lady Bits, which is an online web series about women in video gaming.
Yeah.
Which, the only video game I know how to play is Galaga, and I'm not a woman. and I don't play video games. I'm not even interested in gaming, but Leanna's my friend.
Yeah.
I'm interested in her getting her project, so that's why I threw her. And I was really happy when it all came together.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I mean, it's so it's exciting to see people you know succeed at stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I also supported the Tura Santana documentary, which some friends of mine are producing. And that's how it actually had an interesting backstory. It really looked for a while there that they weren't going to make it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Ellen DeGeneres got on board and put it on her website in her After Ellen thing.
And then it probably exploded.
Bazam! Oh, yeah. Like, and it had like 3 days to go, and they were like nowhere near. And all of a sudden, you just get a backer like Ellen DeGeneres and...
Yeah.
Boom. Because
I remember you telling me about that on one of our road trips.
Yeah.
And about how it didn't look like it was going to get funded. And then next thing you know, you're like, hey, guess what?
Yeah. I'm going to be getting a copy of the movie and a t-shirt.
That's pretty sweet.
Once it's done, it's going to take like another year for them to finish it. But
yeah.
Yeah. But that's
That's my only gripe with Kickstarters is that I think that people should have things ready to go before they put it to a Kickstarter.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, like not sort of like just be making the art for a comic book. Having the script and then sending it to a Kickstarter is like, I don't want to wait a year for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
It would be better to have everything done and then what you're actually paying for is like the printing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree with you.
Because I don't want to forget about a Kickstarter by the time the stuff comes to
I always forget about my Kickstarters until it shows up.
Now, I know that sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes, you know, things happen, life gets in the way. Kickstarters get funded, and then it waits a while before something happens.
Yeah, I heard about something like that. Wasn't the Mr. Monster never showed up?
Yeah, I guess that one was running pretty late, but now Chapter House, I believe. I think I saw something saying that Chapter House is coming in to help get that finished.
Oh, that's great.
So, I can't remember exactly. If Marty was back in here, he might know more, but I'm pretty sure I saw something that somebody has come in to help finish that project up.
That's good.
And that's another, like, that's one that I want to get.
Yeah, I'd love to get a copy of that.
I didn't back the Kickstarter because the Kickstarter happened before I got really into Canadian comics and into the comic scene. So, but I'll have to pick that one up.
I've backed all of Rachel Ritchie's projects so far except that one, but that one somehow missed me. I would have backed it if I had known about it, but I don't know what was going on in my life at that time that I missed. I had that one completely, and you would have figured, like knowing you and Marty, that I would have.
Well, but this happened before I got into the comic scene.
Okay,
so this is from a few years ago.
So it's a few years ago.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
So,
feeling better?
I'm back from my emergency tech support call.
Oh, I didn't realize
emergency
that what you were doing.
Support.
I thought you were just throwing water on your face so you didn't pass out and put comics in your mouth.
No, I'm fine.
Okay, good.
He can put those comics in his mouth. They're all digital.
I just got a phone call from one of my bigger customers, and they're having an issue. So,
did you get everything fixed?
No.
It's
one of those things where it's...
It's like, I'm on the radio. Just stop using the computer.
We're talking about comic books, not computers.
Did you try turning it off and back on again?
Surprisingly, that's exactly what I told them to do.
Really? And after that, what you got to do is reinstall the operating system.
They're having a problem with their Kojiko phones, and Kojiko said it's not their problem. And I'm like, well, wait a sec. The phones are Kojiko phones. How can Kojiko say it's not Kojiko's problem? Exactly.
All right. So we were talking. We were talking about Mr. Monster.
Mr. Monster.
What
yes.
do you know about the update on Mr. Monster?
Okay, so Rachel Ritchie, our girl,
great girl.
Right?
I love Rachel.
She did the Johnny Canuck and stuff of this.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to do a Kickstarter and clean up and prepare a volume of the old Mr. Monster books, and then life happened, specifically a baby.
That's exactly what Dan said. Is life happened?
You know,
and
as somebody who. You know, okay, well, we won't get into the whole men don't have babies, women have babies, men just stand around and look. But me and my wife had four, so
right,
I know what a...
Your ex-wife.
Yeah. If I say wife, then that's six, right?
Right,
my four and her two. So that just makes it worse.
Right.
or better amplifies my point. So I know exactly how much that can disrupt things, and especially if you're, you know, what do they call it, dual income, no kids...
Right,
and then all of a sudden you have a kid in your hip and in the Toronto scene. Man, that's got to be a lifestyle change. But so she's run into some difficulties as far as getting the project finished. So everything's scanned, everything's done, everything's cleaned up, and she's passed it all off to Chapter House to do the actual publishing.
Okay.
So Chapter House is going to print it off, covers.
Does that mean that Chapter House will probably have some for sale?
Chapter House will definitely have some for sale, sweet. Just like they did the Johnny Canuck. They're doing the second printing of Johnny Canuck.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So if you didn't get the Kickstarter Johnny Canuck, you're going to be able to buy a Chapter House published version of it. And they're going to be publishing the Mr. Monster. Now, it looked like, but it didn't definitively state, that anybody who has a Kickstarter is getting a free copy, as in they're going to get a copy because they donated to the Kickstarter, and then Chapter House will be selling the rest. But it didn't specifically spell that out. Mm. So some people are like, "Whoa, do I have to now buy it again?" I mean, that's the perils of Kickstarter, right? You're not guaranteed a product at the end. You're buying into the development process, and sometimes it just doesn't work. Like there was the Kickstarter for that Android phone that millions of dollars went into, and nobody got anything. You know, it just happens. So yeah, Chapter House will have that sooner than later. The only thing I've seen is a static image of the cover.
Okay.
And I don't even know if that's the final cover. So yeah, that's coming.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's something that's on my hit list, is try to get all the old, Gilbert? What was his name?
Gilbert.
Sheldon Gilbert. Who did the Mr. Monster kind of relaunch in the
I don't know.
In the '80s?
I don't know.
Seriously?
I could say something like Gilbert O'Sullivan, and then you'd be like, "No, Sam," and then I'll get my ass kicked for it for the next 5 months.
Especially if you put that comic in your mouth.
Patrick Duffy.
Well, it's more like I said Patrick Duffy once, maybe five times during a show. I thought it was hilarious, and I've been listening to this for like 8 months now. So I don't want to say anything smart. I just want to agree and nod.
Michael T. Gilbert.
Okay.
Thank you, Internet.
All right.
So, yeah, Michael T. Gilbert relaunched it in the 80s. Eclipse, I think it was. Am I correct on that? Yes. Eclipse? God. It's like silence in here.
I know. It's pretty rough.
Is that because you guys are all melting?
It's because I'm melting. It's so hot.
It's then turn the fan on.
Did you guys see the Inhumans trailer?
Yes.
I haven't.
I did.
But spoil it for me. I don't care.
There's no real spoilers. Some people are panicking and jumping up and down and screaming, yelling. Yeah, it was Eclipse that did Mr. Monster. Okay, so we got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Inhumans.
Yeah.
And now this is the royal family of Inhumans.
Cool.
So everyone's like, well, how can you have both? It's like, easy. This is the ancient race of Inhumans that terraformed thousands of years ago. They've been living in this isolated community on the moon. So that doesn't mean new Terrigen formed in humans didn't happen and branched off. I mean, you take a look at somebody from South America and you take a look at somebody from Russia, they're pretty different. But yet we all came from the same spot, right?
Right.
So same thing is going on here. This is the royal family on the moon, and then they're going to start having adventures. So Medusa, Black Bolt, Lockjaw, was it Karnak, all those guys?
Crystal,
I saw a picture of Crystal there. So they're all on the moon, and there's going to be a little bit of a civil war there, and it turns out that Lockjaw and Black Bolt end up on Earth. So there'll be some adventures.
I love Lockjaw.
But that can totally exist in the universe the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sure, I guess. It doesn't mean any difference to me. As long as Lockjaw's in it, I'll watch
Like, didn't they do that in the comic book? There was the ancient family of Atlan.
But you know what? With Marvel changing everything in the movies and TV shows these days, are they making Lockjaw into a cat?
No, he's a dog.
Okay, that surprises me. Usually, Marvel would do that.
If you look at the trailer, like I think you'll get excited about Lockjaw.
Cool.
Because he's very much like his original. But I mean, you know, Medusa's wig looks horrible, and Black Bolt doesn't look. He doesn't have the full face mask on. He just has a. You know, they haven't covered his face. I'm like, well, you're not going to cover the leading actor's face. I mean, every time you see a guy in a spacesuit, they have lights inside the spacesuit. Have you ever turned on a flashlight while driving your car? You can't see out the glass anymore because it's reflecting. There is no lights inside spacesuit helmets. The lights are on the outside pointing out. But in the movies, you got to see the actor's face.
Was it Spider-Man 2 where Tobey Maguire is trying to stop the train from crashing and he takes his mask off?
I think that's number 3.
And he takes his mask off. And I always remember watching that thinking, wow, that's really stupid. Why would he take his mask off at that moment? But then I realized, it's because they wanted the audience to see his face because that would create dramatic tension.
Yeah, it's hard to act in a full balaclava.
See, but I don't think if Spider-Man was trying to stop something, I don't think he'd take his mask off at that pivotal moment.
No, he wouldn't.
Unless
the sweat
was
dripping in his eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
like it's
dripping
in my eyes.
So a lot of people were freaking out. A lot of people were freaking out about the trailer, but like I said in that last little Facebook rant, you know, how many times do you see a novel adaptation in movies get changed? How many times do you see it happening in TV?
Yeah.
So yeah, sure, little shit changes, big deal. Move on.
Don't
get your panties in a bunch.
Well, it depends
on how
much. If
you want to get your panties in a bunch, it's about Marvel comic numbering. That's what you get your panties in a bunch about.
Well, you know what? It depends what it is. Like, I mean, some things I can accept, but when you go way far away from the source material, I don't want to see it.
Yeah, well,
and we've already had that conversation
a million times.
So let's segue to DC legacy numbering.
No, it's not going to happen. Don't even joke. It's not going to happen.
Because, well, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but somebody did some math, and Flash should hit 700 issues with number 39, which comes out in this coming January. Batman should hit 800 issues with number 35 in November.
Now, they did this when...
if they add up all the issues from all the series.
They did this when Detective hit 900, and basically what they did was... They just kept the numbering the way it was, whatever issue that was. I can't
19.
Remember.
19.
Was that New 52?
New 52, no. Number 19, yeah.
And all they did was they just kind of paid homage to the fact that it was the 900th issue on the cover.
Yes.
You know? And that's fine. I can live with that. But to, like, actually renumber the issue just for that one time is just... It's... No. Listen. You rebooted the comic book. You started with a new number one to inflate sales. You don't get to go back.
But they did on two titles.
They did on Action and Batman Detective, and which I think is shitty. I would have just left them.
The New 52 screwed everything up. Everything.
Except Aquaman.
Especially Hawkman. Man, did New 52 mess up Hawkman.
Well, it messed up everything.
That's a huge DC Metal spoiler, so we won't talk about it.
No, I think we already...
It's been out for a week, so... Or 2 weeks.
I don't know. You know what? Maybe it's because I'm just hot and I don't care. But the whole spoiler conversation from the other day...
We're getting meta since we're talking about our own comic book conversations right now.
We are. But you know what? It's like... I think if anybody in this world, ever, anywhere, that gets all caught hung up on spoilers, that it just screws their whole life up, you people are so sad. Just stop. It doesn't matter. Spoilers don't matter. We all, as a community, need to get over ourselves and realize that spoilers do not matter.
I will disagree with you ever so slightly.
Okay.
As a specific example,
okay.
I watch Formula One racing.
Okay.
And it's broadcast from around the world. So sometimes it's on TV at 3 a.m. Sometimes it's on TV at 7 p.m. So I PVR that stuff. And then Sunday, sometime after the grass is cut and everything, I'll sit on the couch and I'll watch the show. So I get to watch the race. 2 hours, right?
Right.
Well, there's this one news site on Facebook that immediately, the second they win, they post a big, huge picture of the winners on the podium. Like,
well,
I don't want to know that.
Okay, I get that.
So there is some to the spoiling, but every single minute detail,
I'm going to tell you right now. Dan is going to see the conclusion of Doctor Who this weekend sooner than I will.
Okay.
Hands down, you will. And if you called me on the phone and you said, "Hey, Sam," and I'd be like, "Yeah, what, Dan?" And he says, "Well, the Doctor regenerated back into Matt Smith." I'm not going to get... The only thing that's going to make me angry
is that he regenerated back into Matt Smith.
It will not be you I will be mad at. I don't care.
I don't care. For a fact now that Sam's going to get minimum 2 phone calls at the end of the Doctor Who show saying, "Sam, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe what happened."
You know, but that's
Matt Smith is back.
That's my thing. That's my thing, is that I'm sick. Anyone who yaps at me about spoilers anymore, I just don't care. No, this is it. If anyone gets upset at me about spoilers, I'm going to turn around, look them in the face, and spoil everything.
There you go.
You know, I'm going to give away Game of Thrones episodes.
You'll spoil their milk.
I'm going to give away, because everybody's going to read the comics before I do anyways.
Sam just had a stroke. All right.
I think we lost one member of our radio show just now.
Okay, so...
Okay. don't know what's wrong with me.
Did you take your medicine today?
Yeah, I took my medicine. Yeah. I did. I swear to God, I did. It's just, it's hot and I'm uncomfortable.
It's very hot. So we've got 5 minutes left to,
thank God,
to sludge through.
Okay, sludge is right.
Sludge. Do we have anything?
I don't know. I can tell you what happened.
Do you got Luann?
Yeah, sure.
You want to talk about Luann for 5 minutes?
Can you talk about Luann? Are you capable of talking about Luann?
Okay, so Luann.
Because if not, I'm going to talk about the website.
Oh, yeah, talk about the website. That's so much. That's a lot more exciting.
Okay, so Hey Kids Comics website, heykidscomics.ca. We moved it to a new platform. It's a little bit nicer layout. It's a little easier to navigate. And the nicer thing about it is it's done with modern technology, not my 1996 web programming skills. So it allowed us to have an RSS feed. So for all you techie types, that means the Hey Kids Comics radio show, if you can't catch it live here in the Peterborough area, will be available on iTunes and Google Play very shortly.
That is actually really awesome.
Yeah,
that's super cool.
I love it.
I got the email back from Google. It's authorized. It's good. They're happy. And it's still being looked at by Google said go. Everything's good. It'll show up any second now. Apple said that they're working on it.
That's great, man. That's thank you for putting that together for us. Because that just brings our audience even a little more further out there.
And the website is mobile friendly. And if you save the bookmark to your desktop, it shows up with a nice little Hey Kids Comics logo.
Cool. Sweet.
And so it looks pretty cool. I'm kind of happy about it. Now, I don't have all the episodes up there. 60 to current is there. And 21 down. I'm still working on getting the older episodes up and running. And
okay.
So, yeah.
Well, you're doing a great job. I'm glad we have you.
Yeah, it should be good. Yeah, it's searchable and indexed. Wait a sec. I got recent comments here. You can comment on the website now.
Really? Really? Read our comments.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if we can read them on the radio.
Sure we can.
I think Gilpin did this.
Does it say something about spoilers?
All right. It says, one comment, Justin Trudeau writes, Shirtless Bear Fighter was a blast. Love your podcast, and I try to never miss an episode. Aw, thanks, Justin Trudeau. Yeah.
So I feel like there's some
Happy Canada Day,
I feel like there's some shenanigans there, because I don't think that would be like the Justin Trudeau.
Of course it's
Justin Trudeau. We've been trolled.
Justin Trudeau, he's one of us.
That's funny.
In every way.
So yeah, so Google Play sometime this evening, apparently, and iTunes sooner than later.
All right, that's awesome.
Other than that, did you see what I have?
Yeah, I do see.
Yeah, I did see that. That's
I have cool. The official member of the Spider-Man 300 Club membership card here. I am member number 29. Some fella on the eBays on the web is selling these knockoff membership cards. So if you have a copy of Amazing Spider-Man number 300, you take a picture of it with you. And then you send it to him, he'll send you a card.
Cool.
And I love the back. It says, if you get rid of your comic, you must destroy this card.
Yeah, it's not transferable with the comic.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So whoever if I sell the comic, then whoever gets, well, to be honest with you, if I sell the comic, somebody's getting the card, because I'm just going to throw it in the bag with it.
Of course.
But it's not transferable. You got to like pay the $4 shipping or whatever it costs to get it done.
It's all about the shipping.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so I guess that's all the time we've got on this melting issue, this melting episode. Tune in next week, and hopefully we'll just use the fan.
You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?